I do want to throw this caution flag out there that we do have to be a little bit understanding that how good are the defenses we played so far. Yeah, they've been down some DBs. They've been thin in the secondary. What's going to happen when all of a sudden we play a team that's got a really good secondary, that's got a great pass rush. They can double a guy or maybe not double George and put a really good guy on Austin. Or, you know, Van Jefferson stepped up great last night for the team. I think that was huge. You've got to have guys that step up and make plays to help fill that void. And so, but you know, I just want to pump the brakes a little bit just because we don't know what we're going to get when we face a really good defense.
Sure.
But they're doing what they have to do right now. That's all that matters.
Good morning, everybody. It's Halloween. We got Halloween-themed music today. It's never been done before in the history of radio. We're talking about candies. We're talking about pumpkin beers. We are celebrating Doran's favorite day of the year all morning long. I can't wait to get Pat Bostick's take on Halloween candy. Maybe I'll see him trick-or-treating.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
We live in the same ish neighborhood.
Yeah.
He lives by my in-laws. Perhaps we'll make a jaunt over that way.
Yeah. I wonder where he's going to be. Maybe Rich Rod or something.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
I mean, I love you, but right. Low blow.
I didn't know.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. That was the voice of Ben Roethlisberger, who says, pump the brakes on your optimism about this Steelers offense, saying, wait until they play a good defense. Talking about, hey, teams are going to start double-teaming George Pickens. It's going to make it harder on them. I agree with that point. It's why we've talked chapter and verse ad nauseum about the Steelers' need to add a number two or another number one kind of wide receiver. But as for the they haven't played good defenses thing, Ben, that is poppycock. Not true. They have played good defenses, and I feel like I was actually a little unfair about the Giants' defense going into the last game. The Giants, they're sacking a quarterback 4.5 times a game. It's one of the highest marks in modern NFL history. They get after the quarterback, and Russell Wilson was sacked 4 times in the game, but guess what? They still moved the ball to the tune of 400-plus yards. So points allowed per game. The Chargers are first in the NFL. Steelers played them. Steelers beat them. Broncos, third. Steelers played them. Steelers beat them. Jets, 11th. Steelers played them, Steelers beat them. Giants, 14th. Steelers played them, Steelers beat them. Indy, actually 13th in scoring defense in the NFL. Giants and Jets are first and sixth, respectively, in the league in sacks. The Jets, fourth in total defense. The Giants, 17th in total defense. So it's not like they're playing boobs out there. It's not like they're playing the Carolina Panthers. And really, for the purposes of this conversation, do we even need to dissect what they did prior to Russell Wilson playing? Like, does that matter? Pump the brakes on the offense. Okay, forget about the first six games. How have they looked with Russell Wilson, and who did they play with Russ? They played a couple of defenses that, okay, maybe they're not great. They're also, in my opinion, Doran, not bad.
Well, how many defenses are they going to play that are really good, though, even moving forward? That's another question, too. I mean, you do want to you want to look at it and see, like, okay, these are the defense that they played with Justin Fields. But we all know that it was a particular offense that they ran. The offense looks different. It was a different layout for Justin Fields against these defenses. And then you look at what the offense was again with Russell Wilson, what it has been, and moving forward. Like, who? Like, what are the Ravens' defense?
Not good.
Right. What are the Bengals' defense?
Really not good.
What's the Browns been doing this year?
They played a good defensive game, I suppose, last time out, and maybe they were bolstered by not having to watch the quarterback who has sucked the soul out of them on the other sideline. But even last year, when people said they were great, they were terrible on the road. I'm not a huge believer in them.
What about the Eagles? Have they been the same defense as they have been? I don't think so.
I think they're getting better.
They're getting better. I mean, the Chiefs have a good defense, but moving forward, like, okay, when are they going to play a really good defense? What defense in the NFL is extremely good?
Right. Even the Steelers defense that is statistically outstanding, they just gave up 150 yards on the ground. That's what defense looks like in 2024. Even the great defenses, you're going to go, really?
Right.
It doesn't look like the 2000 Ravens or the 08 Steelers or the 2010 Steelers or the, I don't know, Titans from 2008, even the 2015 Denver Broncos. Like, when you play elite defense anymore, you're still going to leak. You're still going to give up some big plays. The rules are designed that way. Like, you look at the Steelers statistically, and when any talking heads nationally talk about the Steelers defense, they're like, man, that defense is good. And they are, because it's all relative. You compare them to other defenses, and if we sit here and we gnash our teeth and we white-knuckle it up with this Steelers defense, think about what everyone else around the league is doing when their defense isn't giving up 14.9 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be, if you're good offensively, able to move the ball on just about anybody.
I kind of look at it like this. I mean, the perception of this defense and what the Steelers did is they won the game and they moved the football was the Chargers. And you had the two rush in, I mean, the two outside backers and Bosa and Khalil Mack. And then on the back end, you had the safety, I forget his name.
Derwin James.
Like, that was one of the, you know, better defense, at least on paper. And Justin Fields had one of his better passing outings that game.
Throwing the ball over the middle of the field, spread it in around. They scored on two consecutive drives. Would have been three if they didn't run out the clock. They're averaging 5.5 more points per game than they did last year. And at a certain point, we're going to have to stop comparing them to last year's offense, because that's not the goal, to be better than that. The goal is to be good. They're a point away from being top 10, and they've only played the quarterback they want to play for two games.
Right.
I think there's a lot more reason to be optimistic about this offense than pessimistic. Another area that they've actually struggled percentage-wise is in the red zone. There's only a few teams that have been worse in the red zone than the Steelers. Steelers are converting 46% of the time down there. I think that's going to turn around. Russ was really good in the red zone last year. They should have had two touchdowns added to that ledger in the previous game, and it wasn't play calling. It wasn't like they couldn't execute. One guy's foot doesn't get down, and then you get a penalty that was unnecessary on another touchdown. Not to mention, Van Jefferson needs to sit down. Like, these are all things that can be cleaned up. We've seen bad red zone offense.
Yes.
Like, oh, no, you can't run the ball down there. Now you got to throw. Well, you don't have anybody to throw to. That looks bad. This, to me, percentage aside, doesn't look like a bad red zone offense.
No.
Like, I think they're going to be fine there.
Yes. They are close. The dam's going to break at some point.
Yes.
It's going to break.
And that was the talking point from Arthur Smith earlier in the year with Justin Fields. I really feel that way now with Russell Wilson. I do wonder if Ben is a little jaded. Potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks in here. Offense looks the best that it has since 2018 with 400 yards consecutively in games. And I'm not even crushing the guy for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's... you know, human nature.
It's Ben. I mean, he'll give praise whenever he knows that somebody's not close to what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gave praise to Kenny a lot. And he knew the old day that Kenny was not going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. He knows that Justin Fields is probably not going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, so he'll give praise. But whenever you get a guy that already has basically that title in here, doesn't like that. Doesn't want to share that spot.
He thinks that they can win, I think. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a quarterback that can do something that they haven't done in 7 years, and that's win a playoff game. And I think the human emotion there is there's a little bit of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it's bad. It's just, I think, reality. This is an offense that put up 32 points against that Jets defense we were talking about, and 19 points against the Giants, which isn't going to be good enough. But if you analyze it beyond the numbers, it looked a lot better than those numbers. They moved the ball effortlessly. They had the 1-3 and out to start the third quarter, and I went, come on now. Apart from that, they moved it. They hit deep shots. They've run the ball now for over 100 yards in, what, seven of the eight games that they've played? They're a top 10 rushing offense. They're a top 15 scoring offense. And again, they've only played the quarterback that they think is the best option, and clearly is the best option, two times. So Ben can poo-poo the success and say, hey, let's pump the brakes all he wants. But what would the numbers be if Russell Wilson played all eight games? They might already be a top 10 offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
We would like to talk to you via the phones at 412-928-9370. Do you buy that the Steelers offense is on the right track, that it can be a top 10 unit in the league? Or are you like Ben saying, okay, there's more I need to see? And if so, what do you need to see? Give us a ring, 412-928-9370. We'd love to talk to you on this Halloween morning. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We look forward to your phone calls coming up next. And Pat Meyer talking about one of the few disappointments on the Steelers' offense.
Budget's been awesome. I mean, his attitude, he's nothing but listening. He just got to learn. He's got to focus. You know, I think he's just got to focus each and every play. He plays a lot of good plays. You watch him and it's like, wow, he does some really good things. And I think it's just more him just, again, young, hasn't played a whole NFL season. He's 23 years old. He's going to grow. But the thing that Broderick is a confident kid. He plays hard. He loves the game. He just got to continue to learn. We just got to get him to learn it faster.
Pat Meyer, Steelers offensive line coach, talking about their right tackle, Broderick Jones, says he needs to focus a little bit, but praised his attitude. And I don't think Broderick Jones at any point has had an attitude issue. I feel like he has regressed. If we're talking about areas of concern for the Steelers offense, I still worry about the offensive line, Doran. You're going to get Zach Frazier back. I'll tell you what's not concerning to me, though, is where it's going to go, like what this offensive line could be. And I'm optimistic-ish because after the bye each of the last few years, the Steelers' running game had picked up and the Steelers' offensive line had played a lot better. Just continuity, gelling, all those kind of words. And this year, they've been a really good rushing team and they hadn't been the last few years prior to the bye. So maybe they'll be jumping off from a better point, or maybe this is just what they are, and what they are is a top 10 rushing offense in the league. I'm not sure. But next season, Zach Frazier, Troy Faltanu, Broderick Jones going to continue to get experience. We'll see what happens with Dan Moore Jr. You've got
Mason McCormick.
All these guys are getting valuable reps, and a couple of them they don't really want to be playing or playing the position they're playing right now. So the future, I think, is bright for the offensive line. But I am a little bit concerned about your traditional drop-back passing game if and when the Steelers trail in some games.
I'm really concerned with Broderick Jones. It just looks like, I mean, just some of the things that are almost second nature to the offensive tackle position. And really the things that he did last year, he has regressed a lot. And he's the weakest link right now. I mean, you have somebody that's like Mason McCormick, who is thrust into that guard position with James Daniels being out. And, you know, you're hoping that he would have a redshirt year, Mason McCormick, and sit behind James Daniels. James Daniels' contract's up at the end of the year. Then he just slides in that position in his second year. But Mason McCormick looks, you know, like 50 times better than Broderick Jones. I know it's two different positions, but he's a young guy just getting his feet wet. If Broderick Jones just figures it out just a little bit, this offensive line could be that much better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They've had so many configurations, too. That's tough, man. Like, it's already tough, as you were saying, like, getting the continuity, getting on the same page, working as a unit. But whenever you have so many moving parts, it's hard to find that rhythm, really. And Broderick Jones, you just hope. And, you know, there's one play, I think that maybe it was a sack on Russ that I was paying attention to, because I shifted my eyes. I was like, you know, let me just watch the offensive line, because I never really do. I kind of see the offensive line. I don't watch them in my peripheral when I watch a football game. And I watched Broderick, and he had help. And Najee chipped on one of the pass rushers, and Broderick just got pushed backwards, and I think it was a sack. And I'm like, man, he had help, and he's just getting worked like that. Like, what is going on? His feet don't even look right. His hands, he just looks like he's a tad bit slow. I don't know if it's like probably an inspiration thing that he needs or some confidence or whatever it is, but I know that he's not a, you know, he's not, like you said, a malcontent or anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, he works hard. It's just something's not clicking with him right now. And if it does click, this offensive line can be pretty good because it's done its job really thus far.
From a talent standpoint, he's got it, and I think the line's got it. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that offensive line. You can't crush him for being young, because you're going to make mistakes when you're young and you're learning and you're playing at the NFL level for the first time. Problem for me with Broderick at this point is he started 11 games last year at right tackle. And look, I was critical about the way that the Steelers utilized him this offseason and their plan and flip-flopping him and this, that, and the other thing. He's played 19 games at right tackle now in the NFL. You need to start to get it. Like, it can't be about the Steelers misusing of him at this point. Like, now it's on him.
Right.
So now he's got to figure it out. I don't want to continuously bash them for how they've messed with his head. You've been playing the same position now for 18, 19 games. Like, you got to figure it out. He's played more in the NFL than in college.
And you did well.
Yes. Well, we talked about the running game after the bye. The running game after he was inserted at right tackle really played better last year. So I don't know what the reason is for his regression. Perhaps there really is something to the elbow injury, but you would think that just gets better as the year goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to get healthy.
Yeah. I don't really. I don't
and you get used
that.
To it. Like,
right. I don't buy that. It's more his like feet and just confidence.
Yeah.
You can just tell. Like, he's just not even getting out on his sets.
Well, great. you're an expert, and we've had Trey Essex on, and he's obviously an offensive line expert, and, you know, he poo-pooed the injury thing. Chris Hoke has poo-pooed the injury thing, that it's bigger than that. So they need him to figure it out, obviously, because if not, then you have a difficult decision this offseason. Do you pay Dan Moore Jr.? You probably don't want to, because you have two first-round picks that you'd like to just play a tackle on rookie contracts. You're going to have to pay a quarterback. You don't want to have to throw that kind of money at Dan Moore, but they might have to. So we'll see. But he's been a huge disappointment to this point.
Yep.
Maybe the biggest disappointment on the team.
Probably.
I think he is.
Probably. Actually, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Man.
I mean, Roman Wilson's season has been disappointing, as I'm kind of thinking aloud here. But
he's a rookie.
And it's through no fault of his own. You get hurt.
Yeah.
Like, it's not your fault. You get hurt. Like, that just sucks. I can't think of anybody else who's been a bigger disappointment than Broderick Jones. And I hope he'll figure it out. He's got the talent to figure it out. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. But through 19 games in the NFL, you're not getting the returns on him that you thought you would. 412-928-9370. Alfredo Roberts is the Steelers tight ends coach, Doran.
Uh-huh.
And he said something yesterday he didn't want to say. And I watched it like 10 times, the clip on 93.7thefan.com. I laughed every time. We're going to play that for you when we come back. What did he say? Why is it important?
You can't, you don't expect a guy to be 6'7 and 300 plus. Oh, I said that. He is a big
264,
man.
264.
Yeah. That's what I meant. 264.
Alfredo Roberts, Steelers tight end coach. Oh, yeah, Darnell Washington, 6'7", 300. Not like it's some big secret. Darnell Washington listed at 265.
No way.
I mean, give me a break.
I mean, he's not 20 pounds more than me.
Wow.
Put it that way.
Had not thought about it like that.
Right.
He's definitely three bills.
Oh, yeah.
Solid.
Oh, yeah.
He ain't no chubby guy running around
there. No. But he is 300 plus.
I'm really happy that they found a way to utilize him, because you don't get a lot of guys, even in the NFL, that look like him.
No. I'm really happy that, I mean, knock on wood, he isn't injured. And he came in injured. He got injured last year. His knees have been an issue, even in college, probably because of his weight and his size. And having to run and cut and do those things on, you know, with that, carrying that weight with your knees, like, that's just not a recipe that you want.
Yeah.
But knock on wood, like, you know, he looks pretty good.
Darn, what do you have on the TV here? Man, there's full nudity going on in this horror movie over
turn
here.
Turn that off. Oops. Oops. That ain't my fault. That's your fault. You called for it. You called for it. I'm not going to put you on blast, but you did call for that.
You said this is the channel here. They'll give you the full horror movie. Yeah. They're not. It's not the censored version. And I'm sorry, you're talking about Darnell Washington and his knees, and all I see are some breasts over your left shoulder. Very distracting. Whoa.
Oops.
Legally, I think we're fine if that were on the web stream.
Correct.
Yeah. So we're good.
Oh, so I can put it back on.
Well, do you want me to be invested in the show?
Well.
I wouldn't mind.
There is not.
I wouldn't mind.
There's nothing better in life than when you catch a glimpse of something you're not supposed to catch a glimpse of.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I did not expect to see that in the workplace.
Right.
And very distracting.
Oops.
My apologies. What I want to see from Darnell Washington, who has 11 catches and 120 yards for the Steelers this year, already doubling up his receiving yards from last year, I'd like to see more of him in the red zone. I'd like to see more of him in the red zone. I'd like to see more Pat Freiermuth in the red zone. I think with Russell Wilson, we're going to see more of that. But that seems to me the most obvious thing in the world. This guy is 6'7". He is an absolute matchup nightmare. They had him one-on-one with a corner. It was the first play of the game, wasn't it?
whenever he caught it?
Yeah,
yeah.
29-yard catch.
And he just bounced right off of him.
Oh, my God.
Didn't even push off the guy. He just kind of leaned into him. The guy just fell right on his face. Right on his face.
He
to be able to run like that?
So that's what I was going to say. Like, he didn't run like a super-duper fast 40 or anything like that, but his football speed seems elite. I mean, yes. Those long strides. He's a freak of nature.
He'd have been a first-round pick if he didn't have the injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he shared a lot of the passing reps with Brock Bowers, which rightfully so. Look what Brock Bowers is doing. But, you know, he was predominantly a blocking tight end at Georgia. But whenever he did get the ball thrown to him, he did the things that we've been seeing him do this year at Georgia. So, you know, he's a really good football player. To be able to move like that at that size and to be able to block like that, you just don't see that anymore. I mean, the last blocking full, you know, bounce tight end that could do it all was Gronk. And you know, that's a dying breed. I don't know if there's any other tight ends out there that could do the two things right now.
What's his face in San Francisco is a pretty good blocker.
Yeah, Kittle's pretty good.
Kittle's good.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of it from Taylor Swift's guy.
No, none. He's a receiver.
And even Freiermuth, I think he's been better this year.
Because he hasn't been put in the positions.
Game.
Yeah. He hasn't been put in the positions where he can't win the blocking matchup. And that's what happened. Like, he wasn't an inline, hey, I'm going to go reach block a big nine technique or an outside backer and try to cut him off and get let the running back get the edge.
You can't be throwing nine technique around with XX Exorcist on in the background. You can't be throwing these football terms around and expect it to land
I'm trying to get your mind out of the gutter. Trying hard.
Sometimes I think ideas don't even land when you're like paying attention.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm trying. That's my fault. I forgot that was on.
But you're right. Arthur Smith, such a tight end friendly coach, he's not asking Freiermuth to do things like they would ask him in the past.
Right.
Like, he's not your in line, blow a dude off the ball tight end.
No.
It's not to say he's a bad blocker, but you need to give him the advantageous matchups.
Right.
Now, Darnell Washington, they've had him on the field a ton. And, I mean, he's coming down on DNs.
Yep.
He's blowing outside linebackers up.
Uh-huh.
He's a freak. I just want to see them use him more in the red zone. Another reason why I'm not so worried about their red zone touchdown percentage. Like, they actually have weapons to use down there. We say they're lacking at wide receiver too, and they are. But once they get down to that area, I think there's room to grow because there are guys that I think their skill sets, they wind up fitting that area of the field. Texter, you stole my joke. Yeah, the XX Exorcist was a text line.
Oh, that wasn't yours.
No, it wasn't. That was not mine.
No, I want to put it back on.
What was that movie?
Devil's Rejects.
Mm.
Yeah.
Throw that in my notes on the old iPhone.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Did you see that Cale Burger is Post Malone today?
No.
That's who he dressed up for at Halloween.
What does he look like?
He just, I think he sharpied a bunch of stuff onto his face.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people around the office will get that outfit. They'll understand it.
Post Malone?
Yeah. I doubt it.
I don't know. Tattooed face? There's only a couple of guys that come to mind. Mike Tyson, which he's not. Post Malone would be my number two face tattoo guy.
Woody?
Yeah.
All right.
No, I don't think Woody had a face tattoo. Buzz would have made fun of him. It's terrible.
I come in peace.
412-928-9370, the phone number, if you want to talk tight ends or other
you're really
things.
Messed up.
It was staggering. I mean, that's a big TV, Doran.
If Bostic was in there, he'd start sweating.
It's a big TV, and it was a close-up shot.
Man.
All right. Spray bottle. Injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Michael Pruitt back for the Steelers, made a catch last week. That's what they want to be. So there you go. There's your injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Herbig should be back. Zach Frazier should be back. Cordero Patterson should be back. Cam Sutton going to be back. So they always say, we always say, they're getting the bye at the right time. Nobody got hurt in the Giants game. You're going to get a handful of guys back, you would think, against Washington, and they should be as healthy as they've been, frankly, all year when the second half of the season resumes. It's a big deal.
Huge.
Huge. All right, coming up next, Halloween question for you, Dorn.
Okay.
As it is Halloween. Texter, come on, Crowl Dog, act like you've seen a breast before. Again, it was just the surprise of seeing it here. Like, I don't see them here. It doesn't happen here. And it was staggering to me. Shocking.
My fault. Sorry.
Thank you.
Won't happen again.
Texter, convert Darnell Washington to right tackle. We talked about that before.
We did.
But, I mean.
He's effective in the passing game, so.
Exactly.
If he couldn't move, that's what I would have done. That's the reason why I said that was because of the knee problems.
Yes.
And I didn't think he could move as well anymore, but clearly he can.
If the knee injury were to, and knock on for Micah here, if the knee injury were to resurface at any point this year, that would be a massive loss for them now.
Yeah.
He is instrumental to what they're doing on that side of the ball. And I think if he had played with Russell Wilson all season, we might be talking about a guy that has like 500 receiving yards by the
probably
end of the year. He's got 120 right now. Now, he had the one last week, but the week before he had four catches. I mean, he might wind up being a 400-yard receiver by the end of the season if he does stay healthy, which would be massive for this team. All right, Halloween question coming up next. Pat Bostic in at 7 o'clock. We are off the rails already on this Halloween Thursday. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Pat Bostic going to join us from 7 o'clock until 9. Big pit news came out yesterday on the Pat Narduzzi Show. Eli Holstein, Doran Dickerson, has been cleared to play against SMU.
Correct.
I'm a little bit surprised. Not that he was cleared, but that Narduzzi said it. I just thought we would find out moments before kickoff that Eli Holstein was good to go.
Hmm.
Little gamesmanship kind of
deal. Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised too.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised.
He likes to hold those cards close to his chest.
And I guess SMU's quarterback, they try to do the same deal, saying that he got injured in the last play of their game last week, and he was questionable this week, but he's going to give it a go.
He's giving it a go.
Oh.
They've won with both of their quarterbacks this year, SMU has. And their starter had a lot of preseason hype, but the backup, I think, is getting paid, and he's fairly well-known as well.
Has the line moved now that has been announced?
It has not, at last I checked, which was about an hour ago. I would think it would move a little bit, at the very least.
8 still?
I had it at 7.5.
7.5, 8. Jeez.
Yeah. Whoopsies. Okay. Clicked the wrong thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it is right now 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I still don't understand.
Me neither.
But we'll talk more about that with Pat Bostic. Bill Hillgrove going to be joining us as well in the 7 o'clock hour. But it is Halloween. Doran's favorite day of the year. I do like Halloween too. What are we handing out at the Dickerson abode tonight?
The deal, the Reese's, the Snickers, the
variety.
The variety, the lollipops that I talked about, the apple caramel lollipops, those are mine. I have two bags of them, so they don't get handed out.
Those are just for daddy?
Those are just for daddy. But yeah, the normal, you know, run-of-the-mill candy. What about you?
We're handing out Oreos.
Like the small packs?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Whose decision was that?
That was my wife. She went to like Sam's Club or one of those big stores and bought a whole bunch of stuff for my daughter's birthday party last week, and she just bought like a giant thing of Oreos.
I would like that.
I love Oreos.
What about chips? Like a little bag of chips people do.
Never minded that.
Never minded
that. A little
that
variety.
Yeah.
Never minded that.
Remember the popcorn ball?
Yes.
Did you get that?
Yes. Which was fine.
Yeah.
There's not much I am anti. Like, most of the time, people are giving out the good stuff.
Yeah.
You don't need to give out the king size. Mm-mm. It's always appreciated if you do. It should never be expected. If you get the mini ones, you get the mini ones. A lot of times, if they're the mini ones, you'll get the old courtesy. Hey, two. You can take
right.
two.
Right.
Kids take two. I did see a really funny video on the TikTok, Doran, of a setup that had a cooler on one side, and it said, for adults only, and then the other side, kids only. And then when the dad went to lift up the cooler, some dude popped out and scared the bejesus out of him.
Oh, that is good.
It's genius.
That is good.
Yeah.
That's what the parents do in my neighborhood. Like, you know, you walk around with your kids get candy, parents hand a beer.
You got a little solo cup action going on?
Yeah, I'll just walk around with it. I mean, it's our neighborhood.
Open container.
Well, it's our neighborhood.
You're just flirting with disaster. Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I want to pay attention.
I will have one beverage tonight.
You'll have multiple.
No, I can't. Typically, it it warms you up, but it'll be in the 70s, so you don't really need to be warmed up. But you do want to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm walking around. I think my youngest still needs to be walked around, but my two oldest, they can...
Just go.
They go by themselves.
Just go do your thing.
I can't trust them with my youngest yet. or probably ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they'll just be like, yeah, forget him. Like, hey, Jace, can you watch Jax? Yeah, I got him. Then all of a sudden, Jace will be down the street and Jax will be wandering somebody's house in somebody's bathroom brushing his teeth. Hey, Jax is here brushing his teeth. So he's sleeping over.
Callis, are you handing out candy for your parents tonight? Are you the one? You're the jolly Callis sitting there on the porch inviting children?
No. I'll probably be working tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's no fun.
No fun.
Texter, handing out ramen noodles and microwave popcorn.
Microwave popcorn would be all right, not ramen noodles.
I don't mind the ramen noodles. Ramen noodles are good.
You've got ramen noodles before?
Never once.
Never.
Never once. Never heard of that? No. Texter, my daughter loves the caramel apple lollies, but they get in her hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
They're so good.
You know what sucks? Candy corn.
Yep.
Hate it.
100%.
Hate it. Kale's playing the guitar in the hallway because he's Post Malone.
Oh.
All right, Pat Bostic going to join us for the next 2 hours. He'll be in studio next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Of course, going to get into Russell Wilson and have some quarterback evaluation conversations with Pat. Then we'll get into the Pitt game and their big matchup against SMU. Fan weather, like I said, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado, 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.